Well, here we go, Persiflage podcast number 10. 10th Persiflage. Your trusted guide to a senseless life. That's what it says on this one. From April 24th, 2001. That's a long time ago. Seems to me. Anyway, here we go. The first article in this week's Persiflage is entitled Advice for the Love Worn. Cute. All right. I'm going to give you some free advice. What you do with it is your business. I'm not going to follow you around and make sure you live according to the precepts I plan to lay out here. You're a grown person, and your life is your responsibility. But I tell you this, if you choose to ignore this advice, you do so at your peril. Enough said? Some years ago, never mind how many, and stop calling me Ishmael, I was seeing a woman whom I'll call Esmeralda. Don't ask why, I want no letters on the subject. The relationship was, I thought, a casual one. We wore sweats when we went out, which was rarely, and it was centered mostly on our love of the theme song to the TV show Small Wonder. I know, not a very substantial foundation for a lasting romantic bond, but who said that was what I was looking for? Often we would sit in her apartment, located above a popular hardware store, and listen to selections from her awesome collection of Alan Thicke recordings. Things went along swimmingly until she bought a cat. Now, don't get me wrong, I love cats. Not the musical. If I'd meant the musical, I would have capitalized it. In fact, I have lived with many over the years and had more than my share, four, of good feline friendships. Further, I should state here that a cat saved my life during the war, a story for a later persiflage. So I am as far from harboring a hostility towards cats as is humanly possible. I don't have a problem with cats. It was this cat in particular. Mr. Muggins, which you have to admit is a pretty ridiculous name for a cat, I never did learn his first name, was, for some reason, no friend to me. From the first day, it was clear he didn't like me. I was over at Esmeralda's for a pre-movie drink when Mr. Muggins emerged from the kitchen with a tray of his special martinis. He was always putting on airs. He only brought out two glasses. Okay, fine, I thought. He's going to make himself scarce. But no, he sits down and picks up one of the martinis. I had to go get myself a beer. He was always doing things like that. Whenever I went over there, he'd always suggest activities for two, like backgammon. He was a very good player. I'd end up sitting there and watching the two of them play backgammon, or battleship, for which he also possessed an uncanny knack. Whenever he managed to score tickets through his theater connections, he only got two, and I stayed home. This went on for a while until I got sick of being left out of everything. I was the third wheel in my own relationship. I decided to have it out with Esmeralda. I presented her with the usual him or me ultimatum. Well, I guess I don't have to tell you whom she chose. Apparently, he was a better dancer than I was too. What's my point? Well, boys and girls, it's best to stay out of relationships with people who prefer backgammon playing cats to you. Take my word for it. Hubris. Well, that was, useful advice? Maybe. I don't know. Staying more or less on the same theme, the next thing we have is a poem entitled Romantic Misunderstanding. It's by Charles Rochebeaubois, who has appeared in these pages before, and I'm assuming it's translated from the French by someone. Doesn't say whom. Okay, here goes. When you told me you were a philatelist, I believed you. Now, can you tell me when we can dispense with the stamps? Okay. Next up, we have a story entitled One Girl's Dating Story. That it is penned, as they used to say, by Sally Kind, who I would guess probably didn't use a pen to write it, but probably did it on a computer. Although, 2001, did they have computers then? I guess so. Okay, here goes. One Girl's Dating Story. There was a girl who had terrible luck with men. Boys, really. None of them, regardless of age, were mature enough to warrant their being called men. She was intelligent, kind, funny, and not unattractive. But for some reason, the guys she became involved with were all, not to mince words, losers or assholes or some form of hybrid. She dated a guy named Lance, who was somewhat less sharp than a bag of wet mice. His name should be a tip-off. But who was so good-looking that she tried for some time, weeks in fact, to overlook his obvious dim-wittedness. His propensity for sleeping with every woman who stopped moving for more than a minute, which is about how long it took, she could not, however, overlook. Dermot, by contrast, was very intelligent, and not the kind to cheat, but his stamina was expressed only in his ability to expound his opinions at great length. Conversations with him were monologues. The girl had had her fill of lectures in school, and the prospect of spending her free time listening to some self-important grad student, which Dermot was, drone on endlessly proved too much. To make matters worse, he wasn't even good-looking. Jerome was neither as smart as Dermot nor as stupid as Lance. He also fell somewhere in the middle looks-wise. He could be a lot of fun to hang out with, but his constant use of certain herbal products had made him scattered and unreliable. He never showed up for anything anywhere near on time. He used the expression sweet. He also called her dude so many times that she finally stopped telling him her number. In a weak moment, she fell for a poet. Christian was kind, sensitive, intelligent, passionate, and quite good-looking in a scruffy way, but it wasn't long before his downside became evident. He would fall into a deep depression at the slightest provocation, the sight of a dead bird or a dirty child's sock on the sidewalk, and he became inconsolable. Her taste for hand-holding and general mothering soon faded, and she became tired of paying for everything. What was she to do? It seemed that no matter what kind of guy she dated, he turned out to be a bad deal. It was then that she met Richard. Richard wasn't as good-looking as Lance, as smart as Dermot, as fun as Jerome, or as passionate as Christian, but he did have a hell of a lot of money, and somehow that made everything all right. Yes, that's one from Sally Kind. I'd just like to say that I know a guy named Lance and he wasn't dumb at all. But it's not my story, so never mind. And we end again this week with relevant quotations. Hail, wedded love, perpetual fountain of domestic sweets, John Milton. Love is an exchange of fluids, E.M. Chiran. Animals, the fortunate lower beasts, go into heat. Then they are through with the thing, while we poor lustful humans, caged by moors, chained by circumstance, writhe and agonize with the appalling and demanding fire licking always at our loins. Sylvia Plath. Caring is the only daring. Oh, you know it. Kenneth Patchen. Every time I look at you, I get a fierce desire to be lonesome. Oscar Levant. And lastly, My clinical work had firmly convinced me that the sexually gratified man is also the more productive man. Wilhelm Reich. Well, isn't that good news? Well, that is also it for this week. I don't know, that one seemed to rocket by for some reason. Perhaps I'm reading faster now, getting used to the rhythms of this crazy publication. Anyway, that's it for this week, and goodbye.